We've seen violence very similar to what's happening in Nigeria, happening in Kenya. First of all, I wanted to ask you, is there, do you think, a connection between what's going on in Nigeria and in Kenya?
Violence is a virus. If not controlled, it continues to spread. It's cancerous. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is some relationship between what is happening in Nigeria and what is going on in Kenya. Our desire is to stop it before it goes to do damage or create situation of anarchy and confusion. No doubt, some people lose a sense of direction and orientation, and they try to inflict maximum pain and damage on people and lives. This is unacceptable. It's inhuman. It's insensitive. So our work as peacemakers is to ensure people maintain an equilibrium, they understand life, they have respect for life created by God and give it the honor it deserves. Boko Haram and other terrorist groups don't have respect for life. And our duty is to, if possible, make them see that life is to be respected, it is sacred.
I read that the people are becoming very frightened in the north, where most of the attacks are taking place. How is the ecclesiastic community responding to this? How are you encouraging the people? The attacks also are taking place in the churches.
There is no doubt that with repeated attacks, people become worried and there is fear, anxiety, there is growing tension, distrust. And really, you know, it's getting to a dangerous moment. We preach and teach people to use all civilized means of resolving conflict, dialogue and peaceful negotiations and so on. But when people are attacked again and again, innocent people who have not committed a crime are attacked. And, you know, sometimes you cannot control their reactions. Now, the youth who go out of their way to attack because they have been bombed or their parents have been killed and so on, they are not being sent by the church. It is just an instinctive reaction to evil, an instinctive reaction to violence committed against them. We keep preaching and hoping that the message of peace, the message of Jesus will prevail. But we can't guarantee, we can't control the young people when they lose control and they are in their huge numbers, unemployed, aimless in life and so on. So this is like something exciting for them and they do it. So it's a problem, but we are very optimistic that given the goodwill of all, we can overcome.
You spoke of unemployment and of social difficulty, which obviously fuels the anger of people. From the outside, in a superficial way, probably we see a more of a ethnic problem, or could we call it a religious problem, because it looks like it's the Islamic groups against the Catholics or against the Christians. Is there more to it than that?
Certainly, the impression we must correct is that Christians and Muslims are living peacefully in Nigeria. There is no doubt that there are moments of tension. For instance, when the Sharia issue came up, it heightened the tension. When Nigeria was to join the Organization of Islamic Conference, it heightened tension. When there was issue of Islamic banking, it created tension and terrible controversy. But it wasn't to the degree of people losing their rationality and killing and just destroying things. This Boko Haram issue is exceptional. So it has to be understood correctly that it is not Muslims in Nigeria fighting Christians in Nigeria or vice versa. It's an Islamic group, a terrorist group, a fanatical group that has lost focus, lost orientation, that is inflicting this terrible destruction on innocent citizens. They have tried attacking the government and their institutions, the police, the SSS, the media, the banks, and all. Now they have shifted emphasis to the church. So you can see they have lost even their aim, but they are redoubling their effort at committing atrocities and evil. And the church is their primary target because they identify the church with the Western culture. You know, Boko Haram means against Western culture and values. So the church is seen as part of that Western culture. So they are determined to destroy the church. And they attack the church because it creates more publicity. You know, the world starts speaking about, oh, that church has been attacked, the Catholic Church has been bombed and all that. So they enjoy that publicity. And somehow, recently, they seem to focus on the church because it gets the desired impact and the effect. You know, people talk more about it and so on. There is evil going around. We hope all of us, with government, security agencies, and voluntary workers and people like us, can join hands and in a concerted manner we can overcome this evil.
In your opinion, is the government doing enough to tackle the problem?
Not enough. Not enough. Very feeble attempts are made to confront Boko Haram. Either it's out of fear or out of losing political relevance. Our president, Goodluck Jonathan, did say at one time that he was aware of the existence of Boko Haram members in his presidency and even in some of the security agents. Now, we had expected that having identified that problem, there would be a solution. But up to now, we do not know who these people are. We keep talking about Boko Haram as a faceless group. Now, the suicide bombers attack and die, so you don't know who they are. The problem is that there are sponsors, there are people behind the scene who supply the logistics, who supply the technical knowledge, who supply the money, the vehicles they use to bomb and all that. There must be some sophisticated technical support that they are receiving either from within or from outside. This is what we hope our government and security agents will be able to identify and deal with. But they keep telling us they are on top of the situation. And I want to say, if sarcastically, that the situation is on top of them. So we're asking them to be truly on top of the situation.
What about the governments, the Islamic administrated governments in the north? Are they doing anything?
Yes. To their credit, we can say there has been an outspokenness. The Sultan of Sokoto, who is the head of the Muslims, has spoken out very dispassionately, appealing to those people who are acting in the name of Islam that what they are doing is un-Islamic. And I have seen Muslim governors, either as individuals or groups coming together, denouncing this. Even the Jamaatul Nasr al-Islam, I have seen their write-ups saying, look, this is not Islamic. Killing, destroying, shedding innocent blood is not Islamic. This is being done, and we are happy that we have reached that level of maturity. Before now, people just kept quiet. But now they are speaking out. And I believe them, that they are worried about the level of destruction and the evil being perpetrated in the name of Islam. We are hoping that with them, these good leaders who see good things for Nigeria, with them and us Christians working together, we shall confront Boko Haram, if not spiritually, at least security-wise. And in any other way, we will be able to defeat Boko Haram with the good will that I see around.
Pope Benedict XVI has on more than one occasion sent words of condolence and of encouragement. Do these words reach the people? Are they of help?
They do. To me personally, I feel highly encouraged to know that I am not alone. You know that when these things happen, foreign governments are silent. They rather tell their citizens not to either go to Nigeria or don't go to Jos. I feel highly offended because this is the time that we need them to express visible solidarity, that human show of love and support. And it is that time that they warn their embassies. The ambassadors from Nigeria give warnings to their citizens, don't go near Jos. I live in Jos. My life and everything is in Jos, and I know it is not as dangerous as it has been portrayed. Then you have the CNN, the BBC, who blow out of proportion the happenings in Jos or in Nigeria. So we feel highly offended. So when the Holy Father, in his own fatherly way, appeals for understanding, extends his hand of fellowship and identifies with us and offers prayers. It's very consoling. So I tell you, most times I feel lonely. I feel left out. Then when I hear Germany, Britain, Italy, this, oh, don't go near, Jaws, they are not safe, it's not encouraging to invest there. Then I say, who are our friends? I said, even if you can't go, use us. I am on ground. The Catholic Church is highly involved in conflict resolution and peace building. Why not use us? They say, no, we don't want to channel our resources through the church because we don't want it to be seen as a church thing. Yet we are the ones on the ground. Yet it is our people that are being killed and properties destroyed. I said, something is wrong. So the Holy Father stands out as one who goes across nations, across religions, across ethnic groups to say, let there be peace. We pray for you. We are with you. Other governments rather scare people away from Nigeria. They tell them it's not safe, don't invest there, don't visit there. And I feel lonely in Jaws because I feel I'm working alone. I have projects on ground that I need help for, but nobody will come to give you this help. Nobody will even show that I am here just to show that we are together. Very, very difficult. But the Holy Father, through the nuncio and through the visit of the Cardinal Toron, Cardinal Peter Toxin was also there, and very, very consoling. That's all I'm saying.
Finally, tomorrow when you receive your prize, you will be speaking of your country, I imagine. What will you be telling the people who are awarding you the prize at Sant'Egidio?
I will thank them and appreciate their show of solidarity and support. This is bringing out to the fore what is the correct situation of my country. So it's an opportunity being offered me to say what is true about my country. And then it's not that the problems will all be solved, but at least we are together and we think together. I'm so happy that this prize has been given. It's a recognition that the little we are doing is being appreciated. And it gives me a lot of energy, moral energy, to continue in conjunction with what I hear from the Holy Father. Now I get this prize with prayers of many people around. I feel highly encouraged to go on, despite the risks and despite the challenges. And I tell you, there are risks, there are challenges. This Boko Haram we talk of, they have lost sense of reasoning. Everybody is an enemy as long as you don't behave like them. So we are all at risk. So with this, I am emboldened to go ahead and do what I can within my limited power and resources. So I feel happy, and I hope we will do more for peace in the world.